Star Darryl looks for 7,000. Looks for 7,000. 7,000. 7,000. Coming down to the finish. Don't Cross the Law's leg weary, but he's going to hold on. Classic Cordero, wire to wire. Classic Cordero, number 7,000 for Angel Cordero Jr.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with Hall of Famer Angel Cordero Jr. Angel, Saratoga, take me back to the first time you came to Saratoga.
My first year here was 1962, but I only lasted a week. Then I came back on 63, I lasted 2 weeks. It was a 28-day meeting. And then 65, I decided to stay. And I won my first title here in 1967. I never won anyone no more until 1974. Then I got lucky after that.
Tell me that first week. I mean, why only a week? What happened?
Because I didn't have money to pay. I was staying with two guys, and it was two bedrooms, and I was sleeping on the sofa. So, but I had to pay $25 a week, and after the first week, I didn't have any money, so I had to go. And the first 3 years I came here, I never even got to see the travelers because I had to go back. No money to pay the rent, but then get lucky, you know. You got to get lucky here, and that's I got pretty lucky after that. I would no complain.
You got really lucky here. What was your first lucky break? I mean, when did you think, wow, okay, this is my chance?
Well, when I won my first title here in 67, I was surprised because I wasn't riding for the big outfit, just for the little claiming guys. And I was surprised that I win it. And then I could not, I was get days all the time. When I came here, I always was on day or the get day in between them. So when I won in 74, the title, and then I won the first three titles on the road, that's when I really started getting confidence. I thought the first one might be a fluke. Second one, maybe I got lucky. But after I won three titles on the road, then I know that I was going for something good.
How many did you get at the end?
I won 11 on the road, and I won 13 out of 14.
What was that like, the 11 in a row? I mean, they have the pressure of doing it, right? You had to feel that?
Only, you know, when I won my 11th title, it was the same year that I got hurt in January, and I didn't ride for 4 months. I wasn't riding that many horses, so I thought that I wasn't going to make it. And I have got lucky, and I won there. I mean, the next year, I was healthy, and Santo beat me. And then I come back and beat him twice. So it was like pressure when I got close to the 11. That's when I start feeling a little pressure. You know, really trying to get farther and farther.
Did you ride better up here? I mean, when you came to Saratoga, you kind of get revved up and energized? Or how did you do 11 titles in a row?
Well, I did concentrate on riding here. I work a lot. You know, I was here at 5:30 in the morning every day, no day off, and I was getting on a lot of horses. And my mind was set up for it. You know, there's nothing you can do, you don't have the horses, but try to hang around with the people that I know that they will win here races. And got lucky, you know. You had to, I know people say that, I'm trying to be humble. It's not trying to be humble. It's you got to get lucky when you're in a place trying to win so many years on a row. Especially look at now you got like 9 top riders over here. It's not like when I came here, it was 2 or 3 guys riding. This is the biggest colony I ever saw jockey together. They all 20, you know, all of them. They like 9 of them. They're on the 20, 22, 23, 24. They all hungry. They all want to be number one, and they all good. And they all work. I see Ida waiting. Jose works. Everybody. Joel works. So everybody's on here working. I guess it means a lot to win here. You know, for everybody.
Is it a tougher jockey colony today than when you were riding?
Yes. Yeah. Well, what I was lucky when I was riding, most of the good riders, they was already old. Braulio, Icaza, Shoemaker, the Rods. They was, you know, no real old, but they wasn't like young. Not in the 20. I was on my 20. So right now, I think California used to have the biggest colony of riders together when they had McCarron and Pink Eye and Shoemaker and Sandy Holly and Gary Stevens and De La Huse and Daryl Mahar. That was a big, strong colony in California. Over here, well, they're young over here, 20. They all want to be number one, and they all work, and they all talented. Plus, they learn. You know, jockeys now got to be better than jockeys before because you learn more. You get to see the film in the jockey's room. We only saw the racing form. I'm only filmed when you got disqualified. So they had their advantage now to do homework. The only problem they have is they all on the same age and they all good, man. That's going to be a good race for riding all the way to the end.
How would you compete with these guys today? I mean, if you were young with these guys, you'd be right with them, wouldn't you?
I would have loved to. I would have loved to. I think they bring the best out of you when you compete with somebody that is good. You know, I don't think it was going to be as easy as it was when I was here, but I would have given it a good try.
What's it like for you, an agent? I mean, obviously, longtime agent for John Velasquez and now Manny Franco, to try to help those guys and be a mentor to them. It must be a good feeling to do that.
Yeah, you know, good thing is when they come from Puerto Rico, usually Johnny used to take care of them, buying equipment and everything, and I always advise them about, you know, the way they ride here and what did they have to learn about pace, about the wind resistance, you know, timing, all them things you don't learn in school, you learn in riding. Make me feel good when I see Johnny, best rider in the country, winning races and money, when I see Ira, Jose, Franco, Cancel, them people that I help, and I feel great when they win, you know. It's a feeling that is hard to express, but when you can help somebody, because when I came here, nobody helped me. And I know how hard it is when you don't have no help and you don't speak English and you don't have clothes and you don't know anybody, you know. For them, it's easier now. They come. Puerto Rico didn't have a school when I came. So now they go to the Puerto Rican school, and then they come here and ride, and they learn quicker. And they good kids too, man. You know, like family kids, married with kids, and they always home. You don't see them in town. Me, I was in town all the time. That's what I liked it in Saratoga, because I could go out at night and party.
How did you get out of Puerto Rico? I mean, to get from Puerto Rico to America, I mean, was that had to be a big step? I mean, you said without any real help. I mean, it's an incredible journey to get out of Puerto Rico and make it in New York.
It's funny because my father always told me, if you want to be a good jockey, you got to go to New York. And he said, if you want to be a good jockey, you got to look at your car, because he was his idol or my idol. You know, it's kind of tough because the language and because the clothing that you have to wear and everything. I don't know how to explain, but it's like you like lost in a big city and not nowhere to go and nowhere to ask for. So it's very hard. It's hard. It's not easy like people think. It's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah, for a young kid to come to, I mean, you're trying to make it in Saratoga. Did you have friends or you work at that? I mean, he's a young kid struggling to try to make it.
But when they come, it's people that help them and they ride right away. They come from Puerto Rico, next week they're riding, you know, and if they got talent, they get, sure. The school are helping them.
Now, but not when you were doing it.
No, when I was there, they didn't have no school. And when I first got here in the 60s, he was racist. You know, people didn't like him much. And they don't know where Puerto Rico was. They used to ask me, where are you from, Puerto Rico? I said, what the hell is that? But now everybody knows Puerto Rico. And it's easier now because they get people to help them when they come. But when you come here and nobody help you and you don't understand nothing and you don't have clothing and you don't speak English and you have to sleep on car, it's not that easy. You know, they got it easy. Seriously, they do got it easy. They come here and they go like that right away. Jose came in, and Ira came in, and Jose came out right after, and Manny came right after him, and then Cancel came. So they get help from people, but before it wasn't like that.
Who was the first guy that helped you? I mean, the first trainer or guy that really made a difference?
I came here, it was a guy named Sam Caldara. He helped me a lot. He was a guy called Las Barrera. Sure. He helped me a lot. Frank Martin, Jimmy Papsidero, he had like four horses. I won my first race for him, and that was the only people that I wrote for, but I didn't write much, you know, just one horse here and one horse there. Whenever I wrote a horse that finished second, they would take me off. So I didn't understand that. But then when I became lucky and I started winning, they were taking somebody else to write me. So it was a different story. The table changed, you know.
Well, Alan Jerkins used to say you were your best agent. You'd work the barns and work the trainers and really work at getting those rides.
He was a good help, too. He was He helps all the little guys. He was the only trainer that could ride a guy that had no name. He didn't care. He had confidence in himself. So he helped me a lot to start getting on decent horses. And watching him, wanted it to be leading trainer here too. He loved it here. All I got to do is say, Papa, we're going to Saratoga. We're going to be leading trainer, leading jockey. And he get me on horses right away.
Yeah, and that's what you need here. I mean, you would target those trainers for Saratoga, and that 11 titles in a row is very much getting on the right horses at the right time.
Yeah, and the people that you ride for, they got to be lucky to have them horses running at the same time. So I didn't get to ride for the big stable like Elliot Burrish and Mac Miller and them people they didn't ride. I mean, even so when I was winning. But the other people did. And that's why you need people that win races so you could win.
Who's the best horse you ever rode?
Seattle Salute, by far.
By far.
Oh, yeah. I think of all the horses that I see, with my own eyes, Seattle Salute, Kelso, and Secretaria, three best horses I ever saw. I like that Seattle Salute because he was always willing to run. Secretaria was slow out of the gate, you know, and he get his good days and bad days. Seattle Salute never, only one bad day when he went to California after the Triple Crown. But he always put up. And Kelso, man, he was my favorite. He's 5 years on a row horse of the year, carried to 140 some pounds. To me, he was the man.
How about the fastest?
The faster? A speed or?
Yeah, just straight speed. Who was the fastest?
Sprinter. Groovy was pretty good. He was pretty good on Pine Tree Lane. For Philly, he was pretty good. Groovy was good because he could make records, you know, pack a lot of weight, but he was always on the wrong lead, and everybody was trying to raid him so he could finish, and everybody wanted to make him switch lead. When I rode him, I chased him out of there. You want to go? 21:44, let them come in. And I never bothered him to make him switch because he won't switch. That was his way. The two horses that I rode that never can get him to switch, it was him and Track Baron. They always on the wrong lead. So I used to tell the trainer they left-handed. Hey, people left-handed, I guess I was taking a shot. I said probably he's left-handed, he's better on the left side.
Sometimes you got to, I mean, especially those good ones that are that fast, you leave them alone, right?
It's two reasons when a horse don't switch. Either they didn't taught him right when he was young, or something bothered him.
He knows better than you.
Yeah, right? And if something bothered him, it's like you leg balance, that's the first one. You put very careful, and then you land on the good one. So I figured if they running and don't bother anybody, and you give it a try one time, twice, and he don't switch, might as well just leave it on, you know? Because when they switch, they stop to a wall. When you make them really, they completely stop.
Best ride you ever gave a horse when you made a difference?
Everybody say, well, Fork when the Belmont, but that's what everybody always said. That was because he was a sprinter going that long. But, you know, I rode a lot of races that I liked it, you know, when I look at the film, strategy-wise and what I did. But usually the people said that the best ride was on Bull Fork in the Belmont.
Yeah, how'd you get him to go a mile and a half? It's an incredible performance.
Me, the trainer did. I never thought he could go that far. Yeah, I know he had a chance in the Derby because he was running against a horse that was a speed horse too. And Leroy Jolly's horse was a speed horse and he was always on the lead. And when I went to the pass, I said to Laz, I said, you know, Brario think that horse is good and Leroy think the horse is good. They don't think our horse can go along. I think they're going to let us go out of the lead. And they did. When he gave me the lead, and then I know he came at me like three or four times, but my horse wasn't the best horse I ever rode, but he was the one that tried the best.
Oh, of course.
He would try like a person. He would run, and after the race, he was so tired, he would fall down on his knee, and he would walk back, because he put up everything he got. But then when we went to the Preakness, you know, he went with me, and we went going fast. But he stopped before me. He quit before my horse.
And then the Belmont, was that, I mean, when did you think, wow, he can't, I mean, it was late, you think, wow, he actually could pull this off, or what was that like?
Well, I didn't think he wants to go that far for a reason that you could not rate him. He was no horse that you take a hold and you could slow him down. He wasn't like that. When you take a hold on him, he put his head up in there and he wants to bolt to the outside. So I never thought he could go that far. And last time he said, I know you don't think he could go that far. He said, ride him with confidence. I said, I'm going to ride him with confidence, but I'm going to need a truck to pick him up on the quadruple. So all the time, you know, he made me get on him. I said, but he's going to run off with me. He said, yeah, but he's run off with you. You weigh 110 pounds. He said, he's been running off with my guy, weighs 150 pounds. He said, I don't want that. He said, well, we're going to do you gallop, and if he goes too fast today, tomorrow we either jog him or walk him. He said, until you get together. He said, he's going to come the time that you're going to get to know him. He said, if you cannot get to know him, we got like 2 weeks and a half for you to deal with him. And he didn't work them for the Belmont. He just 2 minute clip. Two minute clip for the Belmont, he didn't work. He said, I don't need much, Papa. He said, we run the Derby and we run the Preakness. He said, he don't need much, he's fed. If he's not fed, not, he's never gonna be fed. He said, we just gotta keep him happy and try to not fight with him. And then in the power, he said, you could go 11 or slower the first three quarters, you got a good chance to win it. He said, but if you want to go 10 and change or something like that, he said, he's going to fall apart. He said, you've been getting on him in the morning. You know better than me. He said, just don't fight him. We'll keep him in the middle of the track. And he said, just let it be. And that's what it happened. You know, he went fast the first 3/16 to the mile. And when I never took a hold or never guided him to the inside, kept him in the middle, he came by like he was galloping in the morning. And I said, he went like 11 and 2 the first three quarters. So that was cool.
What a feeling, huh?
Yeah, I used to kid around with him in the store. I said, take me to the A-pole. I used to call him the Puerto Rican Rolls Royce. I said, take me to the A-pole. Take me to the A-pole. And you know what? When he got to the A-pole, before you look at the film, 10 and 4 home, I still got a lot of horse. I wasn't even asking, and he's still in there. Switch lead, and I asked him to run. When he got to the A-pole, it was like a car when you take your feet out of the gas. I felt it going like that. I hit it right-handed, and he wanted to go in. I hit it left-handed, and he wants to go. He was like drunk. He was like this. I said, oh, shit. I should have never said, take me to the A-pole. And then the closer we got to the wire, the more, the scary I got, because I could see the horses coming, and he's all out. He's all, nothing to fight with it. But we got lucky, to be honest, because he'd be a great contractor. And I won the Brooklyn with great contractor. He was a good marathon run. Sure. He turned out to be a good distance horse run. And he just got lucky, you know. Things happen sometimes that you cannot explain. I always say that I rode like 40,000 horses, and this is one race that I would not want to ride back to Belmont. But I would have loved to ride Saddles Blue back in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. If you wanted to ride one again, what would it?
That why? One. When he went too fast, you know, and he only beat like that. He made a couple of mistakes on him. You know, not going fast, I don't blame myself, because he was running off, because the mother two guys was chirping next to him, the entry and Affirm. But I forgot that Affirm made, that Exceller made the lead and pulled up. It didn't come to my mind that I beat him so easy before in the Marlboro. So when he passed one race, and then Lazaro passed one race, the middle one, and then he came back with the entry. So I forgot all about Exceller making the lead and pulled up. If I would have remembered that, I would have beat him, because he only beat me like that. But after I went to the lead all the way around, and we got to the 3-8 pole, and Excel made a move. I said, man, this has been on the lead all the way. Now it's not going to be good if somebody passed him, you know? So I kept riding him from the 3-8 pole and tried to push the other horse in, and he was just too much for my horse. It's a shame, because he would have been the only horse to win 2 Triple Crowns. But I feel bad for that. I really feel bad. I know he went fast. I know he was 22:45, 109. I know he was going fast, but it wasn't my fault that was him. And he had two horses next to him, you know, urging him to do that. My biggest mistake was trying to keep up with Exceller early when he came to me. If I would have stood still when he went to me, he would have opened up and he would have come back to me. But no, I made my horse run and try to push him back, you know, and it was too much for him.
So you're still a jockey. I mean, you have, like, I'm the same way. I get thinking about rides that I, oh, man, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. So that's still, I mean, you're still kind of in the back of your mind. You still think, oh, I wish I would have done something different, especially in that race.
Yeah, that's the race that bothered me the most. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that every jockey had that happen. Bailey told me when he got beat on Cigar, he felt the same way. I'm pretty sure that every jockey have a race that they rode that they wasn't happy with it. And probably rode a lot about races, but on my knowledge, that was the one that hurt me the most.
When you look back at your career, how much can you say it was hard work, talent, and luck? I mean, what the difference between how much, looking back, was it talent or was it luck?
Well, I have to say luck, because most of the jockeys, they all got talent. You know, some of them a little more talented than the other. The key on the jockey is the good riders make less mistakes. We all make mistakes, but the good ones make less mistakes. So, and when you make less mistakes, you get better horses. And when you own a better horse, your mind is different. Now you feel more confidence. So luck is very important. I mean, you have to have talent to become a jockey, but luck is the most important. You could be on the best horse and get unlucky and you get left, get pinched, rail them up and go around 3 horses and they take you to. It's 100 ways to get beat and only 1 way to win. So luck is a big factor, and whatever you put into your job. The energy that you put in here in the morning, talking to the trainer and, you know, study the races, that's the important thing.
Yeah, and you did that very well. I mean, you were hustling for your career, right?
Well, I was struggling for so long that I figured, you know, I need to do extra to become somebody. I always wanted it to be one of the best writers in the world, like everybody hopeful that, but it's not easy. You know, it's going to be through when we die, it's still going to be people trying to do the same. Some people get lucky, some people don't. I didn't got lucky my first 7 years here, but after that, I can't complain. I was very, very lucky. Got hurt 24 times. I was able to come back and winning all these titles here, you know, and being inducted to the Hall of Fame. And since that, I never dreamed about it.
Yeah, if you could say something to that young kid that came to Saratoga that first year, living in your car with no clothes, trying to pay the rent, what would you say to him?
Well, that's what I say when they cry. They go, oh, man, I'm here, and I didn't even ride. Yeah, but you sleep on the bed, and you have seen to eat. So when I came here, I slept on the car, you know. When he was cold, like, you know how Saratoga gets cold. And he gets cold in there, even you sleeping with your clothes and everything, it's still cold. I always tell him, I say, you know, you're lucky that you made it through here, especially now. You know, this is the best ever, purses-wise, horses-wise, trainer. This is a big, big step. So you could make it here, even if you don't win, but you made it here. You got somewhere, you know.
That's Angel Cordero Jr. You made it, big guy.
Thank you very much. I was very lucky, seriously.
That's Angel Cordero.